This is Public Radio Weekend. I'm David Brown. On April 28th, as U.S. and coalition troops continued to secure Iraq, President Bush traveled to Dearborn, Michigan. He addressed one of the largest concentrations of Iraqi Americans, and his message was one of hope and heartfelt aspiration.
People who live in Iraq deserve the same freedom that you and I enjoy here in America. And after years of tyranny and torture, that freedom has finally arrived.
That freedom might be at Iraq's doorstep, but the United States has a much more ambitious goal in mind. We intend to build a democracy in the raw desert and ravaged cities where Saddam ruled with brutal authority. Does democracy have much of a chance? In our Lessons from History segment, John Barth looks at the U.S.'s record on democracy building and what might be in store for Iraq. John joins us now on the line from New York. Hi there, John.
Hi there, David.
So what can you tell us about our track record at democracy building?
Well, David, in a nutshell, it's not a great track record at all. The United States has tried 16 times in recent history to build democracy after U.S. troops kicked out governments Washington didn't like. But the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace concludes the United States has been successful in only 4 out of those 16 attempts.
And I can think of 2 immediately, post-war Germany and Japan.
That's exactly right. Germany and Japan are the most cited examples of why history would repeat itself in Iraq. The other 2 cases of successful democracy building are in Panama after U.S. troops captured Manuel Noriega, and then on the tiny island of Grenada. But all the other cases have been a bust. Vietnam, Nicaragua early in the 20th century, Haiti, Cuba, Cambodia, the Dominican Republic. The list is a long one. The United States has a very spotty record establishing democracy, and one reason is the U.S. tries to build democracies in countries that aren't very fertile.
I think anybody who talks about democracy in one of the Islamic countries in the Middle East ought to be very, very careful.
David Halberstam, author of The Definitive History of U.S. Involvement in Vietnam, The Best and the Brightest, doesn't think Vietnam and Iraq are the same. But Halberstam says, just like in Vietnam, the U.S. is struggling to win the hearts and minds of people in Iraq. He thinks we look more like colonialists than Democrats. And he remembers a photo from the first Gulf War to make his point.
It showed the Iraqi army like a giant snake in the sand lining up to surrender. Well, if you were in New York or Los Angeles or Omaha or Minneapolis or wherever, you think, oh, what a great photo. Isn't that wonderful? We've won. And very low casualties. And if you were in most of the Islamic world, you think, oh, how terrible. Another humiliation vested upon us by the Western, demons and colonialists.
Colonialists. You know, the word brings memories of the dreaded E word. Empire. It got Britain the bad rap in the 19th and the 20th centuries. The dashing T.E. Lawrence personified empire. In the movie Lawrence of Arabia, a cynical American reporter wonders why Lawrence is helping the Bedouins in their war against the Turks and that other imperial power, the Germans.
May I put 2 questions to you straight?
I'd be interested to hear you put a question straight, Mr. Bentley.
1. What, in your opinion, do these people hope to gain from this war?
They hope to gain their freedom. Freedom.
They hope to gain their freedom. There's one born every minute.
They're going to get it, Mr. Bentley. I'm going to give it to them.
But delivering democracy and freedom to a third world country is a completely uphill effort. Mation Pei is a historian and the author of that Carnegie Endowment report on building democracies.
Iraq is really a country where all the things that can go wrong against building democracy probably are present. And that's really very depressing.
Almost everyone you talk to on this subject of building democracy agrees. Securing order and the rule of law are the key first steps to getting anywhere. And at the moment in Iraq, that job is proving to be exceedingly difficult and costly. Like most countries, Iraq has a mix of qualities that appear promising, depending where you look. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Take Iraq's religious and ethnic diversity. What an incredible mix of Muslim beliefs, tribal peoples, and ancient traditions. But when the Carnegie Endowment's Mation Pei looks at Iraq, all that diversity amounts to a historically intimidating barrier to democracy.
In all the other cases we've looked at, none of the countries has the same high level of ethnic fragmentation, rivalry, as Iraq does today. And as a rule, multi-ethnic countries are very difficult targets for nation building.
Not too far behind is the role of religion and culture. The Muslim faith is one of the few structures left in the wake of Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist party. It plays a key role in filling the power vacuum. But Fareed Zakaria, Newsweek columnist and author of the bestseller The Future of Freedom, says, wait a minute. Just because Islam is politically powerful in Iraq, that doesn't mean democracy doesn't stand a chance.
I think one has to remember that most Muslim countries, most countries that have a majority Muslim population, are not theocracies. They are secular regimes in some form or another. Many of them, by the way, democracies, struggling democracies like Indonesia, occasionally failed democracies like Pakistan, or successful ones like the Muslim population of India or Turkey. I don't think there is any inherent incompatibility between Islam in the sense of Muslims and democracy.
But if you're really looking for a deal killer, Iraq has what history shows is the one ingredient that almost always quashes democracy. Can you guess what it is? It's oil. Ironic, isn't it? History shows oil and democracy just don't mix. Again, Meishan Pei.
If you look at the composition of the OPEC, the oil exporting countries, you find that few countries there, indeed no country there, is an established democracy. There's something about oil that is really bad for democracy building.
Oil, the very thing that the U.S. is banking on to help pay for the reconstruction of Iraq, also has a history of undermining efforts at democracy. And that's because oil produces such a gusher of cash, it inhibits diversification of the economy and also makes rulers at the top stinking rich. Fareed Zakaria agrees oil's bad, and he says the lack of any democratic tradition in Iraq is worrisome too. But the key factor working in favor of democracy is one the Bush administration has rejected in Iraq. When we've built democracies with our allies, the odds of success have always been better. Zakaria says going it alone in Iraq has a terrible cost.
There's no question the United States could probably do the job better than an international coalition. It's simpler to have one country in charge. We're a big country. We have resources, talent. But we won't have legitimacy. And that's the crucial problem with an American-only approach here. We need to be able to weather the charge of imperialism, and we can't do that all alone. So the reason for us to involve the rest of the world is actually quite self-interested. It will allow us to stick around for longer, it will allow for a deeper involvement, and it will achieve better results in the long term.
Then, too, there's the matter of time. There is so much pressure now on the U.S. to wrap it up, put an end to the presence of U.S. troops, name a date, and leave Iraq to a homegrown authority. But historical experts like Zakaria and others caution that's precisely the wrong thing to do. And in fact, he says, we just got there.
The United States is actually quite patient, if well led. If you think about it, we are still on the banks of the Rhine. American troops are still in Okinawa. We're still in South Korea. Because it was explained to Americans that this was important strategically, politically, morally. In Iraq, we have placed far too much emphasis on getting out quickly. We have not explained why we might need to stay there. And as a result, yes, there is a pressure for us to leave. If we think that by handing over power to the Iraqis and leaving, we will be fulfilling our mission in Iraq, I think we'll be deluding ourselves, and it will be very clear very quickly to the rest of the world that what we left behind in Iraq was a sham democracy, not a real one.
In the end, is history a reliable guide to whether the U.S. can build a democracy in Iraq? David Halberstam says we would do well to remember the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, who believed no matter what man does, there are always factors he cannot control.
Events are in the saddle and ride mankind. By that he meant, you know, powerful men think they have a vision of great clarity of what they should do to exercise power, but it never quite works out that way, and something else happens, and their view of power doesn't work, and they trigger a counter impulse on the part of someone else. It never works out according to schedule. Events are in the saddle and ride mankind. It's a great quote.
That's Pulitzer Prize-winning author David Halberstam with a warning about history and hubris and circumstance.
You know, John, the history is what sticks with me. If I didn't have the idea of how complex this challenge was before, it's that historical perspective that really drives it home.
Absolutely, David. You know, Iraq's situation helps us all reflect. You can conclude how nuanced, special, and challenging democracy is here in the United States or Britain and Canada,
sure,
anywhere it's been established. It has all these components, structures of government, notions of citizenship, a free press, tolerance, minority points of view. You know, if it were easy, the U.S. would have more than four successful transplanted democracies to
right,
its credit. As it is, Americans struggle with homegrown democracy every single day. And this is why some people say winning the peace is the hardest part of the war in Iraq.
Indeed. John, thank you very much. John Barth with this week's Lessons from History segment on Public Radio Weekend. John speaking with us there from our studios in New York. I'm David Brown, and this is Public Radio Weekend.